News from the UBC. Good morning. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is the end of the world news.
шатим, до сейчас ми, жуньори сати, али. Тихоли ути, умала ути, вею про мистура. Acima do bem e mal, levou o europeu ao céu. Com os narguilés, cabeça nos pés, a dança dos sete céus.
So much for Os Mutantes. Is Os Mutantes. Is islands coming up, these islands.
Thank you. side, they sing along when you switch on. They sing along when you switch on. You switch on for the city, run gone from the city. Come on, strong winds move on. You belong in the city, I'm wrong for the city. Switch on a sad song now. Yeah.
قلبي أحمر ولوني ذهبي أنا أسمر دمي أحمر ولوني أنا عربي
CITR has tons of friends. Because with your Friends of CITR card, you get rad discounts from local businesses. Say Commercial Drive is your home sweet hipster home. Then present your Friends card at Bone Rattle Music, Audiophile, People's Co-op Bookstore, High Life Records, and Spank Clothing. And you'll receive awesome discounts. So become a CITR member, get a free Friends card, and feel the love.
From school, look quite content with life. And why not? They're looking forward to an important date, dinner at home with the family. What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Luckily, UBC students have lots of on-campus dining options.
World-famous Blue Chip Cookies. Located on the main concourse of the sub, Blue Chip features yummy baked goods and cookies made in-house. Blue Chip opens at 7 a.m. to serve all your early morning latte needs and has proudly served certified fair trade organic coffee since 2004. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
During World War II, GIs got really clever and made up really cool radios that were super simple so that they could listen to radio stations. There were German stations you could listen to, and sometimes you even got lucky and heard an English station.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
This is the end of the world news. This is the end of the world news. This is the end of the world news.
Tells me Aibeni nyolo tenye, osalane mo manda boma. sapo wa lu soni soni boye kuwe pe duwe nasibe noni bola wa nyola ni kando bangi nombaye yena oma bupe momba mongo soni soni boye kuwe pe kaja Kando bangi nombaye Yana oma la mwanyu Soni soni woye uwe mpeduwe Nasibe nmoni bola wa Nyola ni kando bangi nombaye Yana oma mpe mumba mongo Soni soni woye uwe mpekaja Woye uwe mpeduwe Woye uwe mpekaja
In the heart of Kitsilano, Saturday, June 27th. This festival returns once again to celebrate Greek heritage, the Kitsilano community, and its local merchants.
Greek Day. Krino's Foods will host the main stage and other crowd pleasers. And new for this year is a Super Paradise Disco and an Athenian marketplace, Agora.
Greek Day. West Broadway, in the heart of Kitsilano, Saturday, June 27th. To volunteer, or for more information, visit www.greekday.com. Ψυχή μου διψασμένη, πίνω, πίνω από τους χυμούς σου.
backs wild out. No bother pet pockets at wild out. If you act wild out, right for not one step wild out. Go and get clean, make a scene wild out. And embarrass them, go and scream and shout. Tell him, if you mad wild out, go and go on bad, go girl wild out. If you backs wild out, no bother pet pockets at wild out. If you act wild out, right for not one step wild out. Go and get clean, make a scene wild out. And embarrass them, go and scream and shout. Tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him, tell him.
Ah! come into my life now.
We're at 8,000 feet. Television cold and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot Glamourville record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Get it. Pause. Let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Artie Shaw, and his orchestra making dance history in the Blue Room of the Hotel Lincoln in New York City.
Every Thursday from 10 till noon, join me, your host, Charles Burnham, for Sweet and Hot, a celebration of the 78 RPM record, a three-minute masterpiece in the golden age of North American songwriting. Hot jazz, swing, and popular music from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's every Thursday from 10 till noon here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Enjoy that blue bottle?
That's a swill record. I must get it. What's his number?
Between 18 and 25, were arrested in Sargodha in central Pakistan in December. As Olagirin reports from Islamabad, neither those convicted nor the Pakistani prosecutors are happy with a court verdict.
For the authorities in America and Pakistan, their case represented a nightmare scenario. Western passport holders who allegedly contacted militants via email and YouTube. The men denied they were planning attacks and said they intended to travel to Afghanistan to help fellow Muslims in need. In a country famed for slow justice, their trial was swift and closed to the media and observers. They plan to appeal, but so does the prosecution. It wants their sentences increased.
The headquarters of Belgium's Roman Catholic Church has been raided following allegations of child sexual abuse levelled against several church figures. Here's our Europe correspondent, Johnny Diamond.
Staff from the Brussels prosecutor's office have sealed off the Archbishop's sprawling palace just north of Brussels. Inside, legal officers are looking for material that might back up a recently opened investigation into abuse in the Belgian church. The office of the prosecutor would neither confirm nor deny reports from local television that a raid had also been carried out on the offices of the long-running commission investigating paedophilia in the church. The raids come just months after the resignation of Belgium's longest-serving bishop, the Bishop of Bruges, after he admitted sexually abusing a boy for many years.
Sri Lanka's foreign minister says the recently appointed members of a United Nations advisory panel on human rights will not be allowed to visit the country. The Sri Lankan government has described the panel as an unwarranted and unnecessary interference. Jill McGivering reports.
The UN Secretary-General announced on Tuesday that he had appointed a special three-member panel to advise him on alleged human rights abuses in Sri Lanka in the final stage of the civil war last year. But on Thursday, Sri Lanka's foreign minister, G.L. Pieris, said his government saw no need for the panel and wouldn't give its members permission to visit. The position of the Sri Lankan government is abundantly clear, he said. We will not have them in this country. The Sri Lankan government has already announced plans for its own internal inquiry, although its exact terms of reference aren't clear.
A special court to try suspected pirates has opened in the Kenyan port city of Mombasa. The court, which is funded by several donors, including the European Union and the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, will be based inside a prison. Earlier this year, Kenya said it would stop prosecuting piracy cases because of a lack of international support. You're listening to the World News from the BBC. Australia's new Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, has promised to hold an election within months, following her successful challenge for the leadership of the governing Labour Party. Labour elected Ms Gillard as Australia's first woman Prime Minister after her predecessor, Kevin Rudd, stood down following a dramatic fall in both party and public support for his leadership. There are hopes of an end to a bitter dispute between Russia and Belarus over gas. The Russian state-controlled energy company Gazprom said it was resuming supplies in full after Belarus agreed to pay its outstanding debts for gas purchases from the firm. The dispute led to Russia reducing supplies by more than half on Wednesday. Researchers in China are planning to give pandas bred in captivity a taste of life in the outside world so they can eventually be released into the wild. Simon Ponsford has the story.
Pandas born in captivity struggle to adapt to life in the wild, so now they're getting a helping hand. First, two pregnant pandas, chosen for their health, temperament and survival skills, will be moved to the edges of a panda reserve in China's southwest. The idea is that their cubs will then learn to forage for food themselves, rather than relying on humans. The pandas will be closely monitored by zoo workers and vets disguised in black and white fur coats. If all goes to plan, the pandas could be released into wild mountain forests after 2 years.
As France tries to come to terms with a poor performance of its football team at the World Cup in South Africa, one of its best-known players, Thierry Henry, is meeting President Nicolas Sarkozy. Shortly after the team landed on its return to Paris, Henry was whisked away in a presidential car with motorbike escort. The national squad was eliminated before the knockout stages, and it's been heavily criticised in France after boycotting a training session in a highly publicised dispute with the manager. BBC World News.
No, it bloody isn't. This is the end of the World News. Good morning. drop the accent. Good morning, Graham. Graham, good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm all right, thank you. A little sleepy. This is Adam, and this is the end of the World News, and we have an abridged version today. We're going to waste half as much of your time as normal. Got to stop at 9:30 and turn it over to the robots. In the meantime, we can't say iRobot anymore. That's copywritten. But in the meantime, what's going on in the world, Graham?
Well, the buck stops in the White House, as it turns out.
Oh, where did the buck stop this time?
Well, as some of you may have heard, the lead general in Afghanistan, insurgency, was
talking to the
fired,
press.
More or less, and replaced by Dave Petraeus, who was formerly the head guy in Iraq, the head general in Iraq. But General McChrystal, loose lips sink ships. He was followed around by, he was encouraged to, you know, have journalists around him and this and that. But I guess, you know, over a month of time, a Rolling Stone journalist was able to get a bit of dirt. The bottom line being that he said a lot of things about Obama, people in the White House, Joe Biden. One of the security advisors, he said was a clown.
You know what I love about this is that it's listed as insubordination. And you know the thing that it's actually done, in my mind, it's probably done Obama a world of good because he's been seen to be Big Daddy. He gets to be Big Daddy. And you know, sort of get firm. He gets to be commander-in-chief.
Well, indeed, that, you know, a lot of the headlines have a lot to do with that. For example, one headline, in replacing top general, Obama shows who's boss, you know, all that buck stops here stuff. So you may be right from a political point of view, but I want to ask the deeper question, as we are wont to do on this show.
What's the deeper question? The deeper question, who did he have sex with? Yes, but who did he have sex with?
No, that was the Canadian general.
Oh, I see.
He had sex with the Canadian general? No, he.
Now
the Canadian general, the top commander for Canada, was brought back to Canada because he had sex in the field. And you ask, what field? Well, the field of command, the field of battle, so to speak.
What is the bloody point of being the general of one of the larger armies in the world if you can't have sex in the field?
Poke your subordinates?
We really seem to not get this. What's with this? It's not like he was going around raping and pillaging.
No, it was consensual.
Consensual sex with a female in the military?
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
But this is natural human behavior.
Yeah, the consensus is...
Was he married?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
But I don't know that that was a...
I think this is a problem for his wife, not really. Yeah. Does this make him a lesser soldier, that he has some testosterone surging through his veins?
Well, I guess it's
just not nice.
Let's put it this way. He is a lesser soldier because he was demoted.
I think he might be calling in right now. Let's just see. Hello, caller. Are you there?
I'm here.
So should Canadian generals be relieved for having sex?
No, I think you should use the Bonaparte method.
What's the Bonaparte method?
Well, he just threw it around all over Europe, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
Yeah, you know, it's a storm in a teacup. So the general shouted. He's probably telling the truth. That's the real problem.
Yeah,
yeah, but you're not allowed to do that in the military, are you?
Well, he's the head of the defense staff. He's got opinions. They ask his opinions, right? And then when they don't like what they hear...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, but isn't the point, Goulash, that they have to be seen to be talking in one voice, as Obama said, and I just point this out.
Yeah, but the consensus is that, you know, like the chief of the defense staff in Britain came out after he retired, and there's been a big stink because he said it's not working, right? Mm-hmm. The thing is, the wheels have fallen off the truck, right? I mean, that's the biggest story. You know, Poland, Holland, and England are all talking about when they're going to have an exit strategy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as is Canada.
So, you know, so Obama's little soiree into the Afghan hinterland is going to come on pretty soon, within the next 18 months anyway.
Yep.
You know,
well, he promises
so
to start.
Just keep looking for the oil to flow to China. That's the critical thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get your new iPod.
Indeed, new iPod from China with oil.
Yeah, iPhone sales are up.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, guys, I'll keep listening. I'll call back if I hear anything this week's meeting.
That outrages you.
Yeah, I'm listening via the web today because my radio's not working.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do in the next 20 minutes. We've got 20 minutes to go. Okay,
cool.
Peace. Okay, bye.
But here's my question, Adam.
Yeah.
Does it make any difference that this guy, is this big news? Is it big news?
With the Canadian guy or Petraeus?
No,
Petraeus in, Crystal out. McChrystal.
McChrystal, yeah. Petraeus in, McChrystal out because, you know, in the end, people know that there's disagreement behind closed doors.
Well, the thing that did happen under McChrystal was that they started concentrating, or at least the optics started concentrating, on trying to kill fewer civilians, which was, from my point of view, a good idea.
Well,
you know,
Petraeus, they say from that point of view, purely from the point of view of a seamless change in command, because they are on the same page.
What's kind of interesting is that Petraeus is being pulled out of Iraq, which suggests that Iraq is under more control.
Is he actually still in Iraq, or was he back in the States?
Good question. I know nothing.
I'm
going to move on.
Left Iraq.
Okay. I'm more interested in the Canadian guy who got caught stupping a fellow soldier and has been stupped himself. I think it's a little embarrassing on
behalf
of
the point. The point.
Surely the guy who should be general is the guy who can stup the most soldiers.
Yeah, little notches on his... belt.
we're allowed to screw the whole world over, just not really.
The point being is that as much as there's a little wink, wink, nod, nod when it comes to a little tumble out back of the outhouses, the fact of the matter is that on paper it is a rule in the Canadian Army, and therefore if the top man breaks the rules, well, you can't accept him. You can't.
There you go.
Can't, I love not punish him.
Army rules. Everything except for killing people is against the rules. Anyway, we won't go there. It'll only get goulash going and outrage. I'd rather talk about the fact that Europe is crumbling like overaged camembert.
I'm going to go and visit and see.
Actually, camembert doesn't crumble. But Europe is crumbling like cheese, like the old cheese.
Well, it's oozing like cheese, too. So it's okay.
Right now, there's mass strikes going on in Spain because the Spanish government is suggesting all kinds of austerity measures. Public sector workers in Spain staged a mass walkout last week to protest the government's planned spending cuts. Spain has a huge budget deficit, and there are fears that it could soon follow Greece into economic meltdown. Prime Minister José Luis Zapatero's austerity plans include pay cuts of 5%. For 2.5 million public sector employees, there's a follow-up pay freeze to follow next year, and similar programs are being announced across Europe. But public resistance is particularly strong in Spain because Zapatero actually won re-election 2 years ago on a promise of full employment. But the job rate now stands at more than 20% people are out of unemployed.
Anybody who believed that was a fool and shouldn't be employed anyway. I know I'm being anybody who believes that.
But think about it, 20% unemployment nationally, that's a little intense. And these huge budget deficits, same thing is happening to Greece. And there are a bunch of countries around Europe that are in trouble. And meanwhile, Germany,
Ireland, Italy, Greece, Spain.
And Germany is going insane because they work so hard and now we are having to support these lousy Greeks and Spanish who do nothing but sit around in the sun trying to take the towels off our deck chairs when we're going off to get a beer.
Well,
and other
that of course was one of the big worries for the strong economies, particularly Germany, in Europe when they started to go to the Eurozone
and it's happened
currencies. And now, because they're tied at the hip, so to speak, they have to, you know, the best thing in the world would be if Greece was still on the drachma would fall through the floor, but
everyone would simply go on holiday and Ouzo would be a little cheaper.
They would buy more of Greece. Yeah.
Yeah, and so Germany, of course, took on the East, and now they have a country which was the West Germans very rich and the Osties not so rich, so they took on the East, so this half their income, and now all of a sudden, ach du lieber, here comes, you know, all of the Spanish and the Greeks knocking on the door saying, please, sir, can I please have some of your strudel? And they're not taking very kindly to it.
That's true.
Yeah. Britain.
The German economy is still doing very well, apparently. The rich, I read a little something that the rich in the world are buying more German BMWs and Mercedes and all those fancy cars. So the upper end of Germany is doing just fine, which is usually the case, of course.
Well, yeah,
that's why they're called the upper. Yeah,
all around the breeding world, it's all the bleeding same. It's the rich what gets the pickings. It's the poor what gets the blame.
Yeah.
In it.
And the Bible more or less said that, and so it's got to be true.
And there's other things going on, you know, like in England, they've got this new government, which is supposed to be, you know, the sweeping broom that changes anything. And they've lost a finance minister already because he was paying rent to his gay lover, who he didn't admit to having, and claiming it as a housing expense. And then they found out that the guys were actually sleeping together. And he says, well, hold on a minute. I mean, you know, we were pretending not to live together. I didn't think that made us a couple. So anyway, the finance minister from the Liberal Democrats, who are supposed to be the good guys, have been ousted. Am I going to? Oh, I'm going to go to call. I have a feeling I know who this is. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yeah, I got some more important news for you.
All right.
Apparently, if you go on the web, you know, the interwebs, and check out Top Gear, you get better mileage from a BMW M5 than you do from a Prius.
A Prius?
Prius, whatever, you know. The one with the earth-shattering batteries, you know, the ones that they mine in Canada. And
hybrids, the hybrids.
China, and then they make it into foam and then put it in the vehicle in Japan and then sell it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just...
Buy a BMW.
The M5, the fast one, the 400 horsepower one. Tell Graham he's got to go watch the YouTube video.
I'll go and...
Surely not believe me.
I do believe you, and I'll tell you why.
18 miles to the gallon with the Beamer and only 14 with the Prius.
The Prius.
Yeah, that Prius. Can't say it. The Prius.
The hybrid.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go.
There you go. Thanks
for
that.
We're saving people money on the show.
I will go and buy a BMW today.
Yeah. All right, guys. All right.
Thanks, mate. All
right. Take care. Right.
He's just going to steal a hubcap, I think, from one of the BMWs out front there. I had a fairly long and relatively well-informed lecture from a fellow who, up until recently, was one of the head spokesmen for GM. And the fact of the matter is, you know, the average American, Canadian, Western car is quite old, and it takes a long time to turn over. But combustion engines, even in the last 10 years, have come so far in terms of efficiency. And I know that we beat on the car companies, and California wants to make things happen even faster. But it's not like those engineers are all sitting in their hands going, hell, we can't squeeze any more efficiency. It's amazing the efficiencies they're squeezing out of these cars. So, you're right. I
know whenever an old car goes by, you can smell it. Huh? Yeah. I mean, you can really smell it. But on the other hand, there's still oil pumping out into the Gulf, and this idea of relying on oil seems to be a really, 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 really dumb idea. But in the meantime, you know, along those lines, BP, of course, has bought all the search terms related to oil spill, Gulf oil disaster, on search engines such as Google, Yahoo, and Bing, so that an ad on top of the results directs readers to a BP site, pictures, videos, news releases that provide the company's view of the beautiful, pristine cleanup efforts. Learn more about how BP is helping, the site says. I think it's really interesting that you can buy words.
Apparently, that's pretty standard operating procedure during a PR crisis. It's one of the things they figured out finally when they realized how important and how powerful the web was.
And I guess it makes us realize that when we do internet searches, we're not necessarily doing unbiased searches because the bias is
it's bought and paid for to be close to the top of the, you know, the algorithm will put it at the top. But as you know, there are, you know, often hundreds of pages of things which would have the words BP and disaster.
So how many pages do you look through before you decide you're getting the correct information?
You just look at the actual web, you know, what it is, and if it says BP as opposed to...
Surely that's very easy as well to come up with an URL that doesn't say BP.
Yeah, it's amazing what percentage of people just go to the top two and think it's news and unbiased.
Well, exactly. So how do you check your information? Who filters the filtering? Because as they say, no good story is quite true.
Well, theoretically, with any luck, some of the news organizations have got this figured out.
Yeah, some of the
mind
news
you, they're bought and paid for.
Do have this figured out, which is why in the United States, 49% of U.S. voters believe that the activists on board that Turkish ship were to blame for the deaths that occurred, which strikes me as nine of them must have killed themselves.
Same 49% who voted for Sarah Palin.
Only 19% blame the confrontation on Israel, which is really interesting. I mean, it's like 19% say Israel was to blame, and it was only, I point out, the activists who were killed. No Israeli soldiers were killed. In fact, no Israelis
in international waters.
In international waters. And yet 19% of Americans think Israel is to blame, and 49% are certain that the Palestinians are to blame. And this is surely like the paid-for media to some degree, because the optics of that look really, really strange. Yeah. That, to me, looks like a really strange conclusion to come to.
Well, callers, don't call me a racist or anything, because a lot of people in Israel, there is actually a healthy debate going on in some circles in Israel. It's not entirely Palestinians, Muslims bad, Israelis, Jewish people good. There is a big debate, and one of the arguments is that the Jewish lobby in the United States is very, very powerful and politically important in the United States. And I can't reach a conclusion personally. I'm just saying that is a healthy part of the debate.
Can I make this as a suggestion, as another healthy part of the debate that is hardly being confronted, really? And that is new studies on racism. When people see someone else experiencing pain, they subtly respond as if they, too, have been harmed. This is the phenomenon called pain empathy. But a bunch of Italian scientists have found that pain empathy is greatly diminished if the two people belong to different races. In the study, two groups of subjects, one of African descent and the other of Italian descent, were asked to watch brief videos in which a hand was pricked by a needle. One video showed a white hand being stuck and the other a black hand. When subjects saw a hand being pricked, they registered a sympathetic pain reaction in sensors placed on their hands, but only if the hand they watched belonged to someone of their own race. And apparently people who'd expressed more prejudice in a questionnaire before also showed less pain empathy towards the opposite race. However, intriguingly, both whites and blacks reacted empathetically when they saw a purple hand being pricked. This is an important discovery because it suggests that humans tend to empathize by default unless prejudice is at play.
Unless it's Barney the dinosaur that they're empathizing with.
Exactly.
That hand only has two fingers.
So what this suggests to me is that, you know, the conclusion that we're drawing to in terms of whether we come out in favor of Israel or whether we come out in favor of the Palestinians, and this or any particular outcome, whether it's the invasion of Gaza or bombs blowing up from Gaza into Israel, does have a tendency to be guided by our ability to have empathy with people depending on our previous racial prejudices. And the suggestion is, of course, that there is a greater racial prejudice against the Palestinians or the Arabs in the States than there is against the Israelis or the Jews, and as a result, there is less empathy.
Yeah, it's tribalism. You and I have talked about that whole notion of our own tribe.
And at an unconscious level where you can't even feel somebody else's pain if you already have a prejudice against them. And I think this explains a lot of behavior in the world and how it's possible for these enormous acts of cruelty to happen across a different tribe, that there is no empathy there. Anyway, I thought that was it. There was another really interesting little study, and since we only have a few minutes more, do you want to do some science? Or do you have something going on there?
No, I'm just saying that the world loves Canada.
There you go.
But you know what? You know the only
reported by a Canadian newspaper.
Well, not only that.
In Lithuania, they did not print "The World Loves Canada." They printed "The World Loves Lithuania."
Yeah, well, almost. The only people who love Canadians more than everybody else are Canadians.
Yeah. You know what is remarkable to me about this is that's news.
Yeah, that's a half page.
We're nice is that's what the Globe and Mail considers news.
World news.
Canadians are nice, and Canadians think so even more than other people. That's almost as good as, "We had an earthquake. Glasses got broken." That's news? Please give me a break. Five on the Richter scale. Why, yeah, you oughta.
Yeah, it was just north of the capital.
Call that an earthquake.
They say that it's just a little rattle of things to come.
Storm in a teacup. Money.
Okay, what's going on here?
There's another little piece on money. A study by Belgium psychologists found that richer people aren't as capable as poorer ones of savoring small pleasures. Chocolate, the thought of completing a task or enjoying a hike. A group of volunteers from all economic strata were asked to ponder scenarios in which they traveled, took a sunny walk, or tasted chocolate. Questioned afterwards, those with more money derived less pleasure from imagining these experiences. More provocatively, subjects who were shown an image of a stack of money at the start of the experiment showed an equally diminished ability to savor small pleasures. So all you have to do is think about money and the small stuff starts fading into the background. When they were given an actual piece of chocolate to eat, those who had looked at a picture of money first ate the candy 50% faster than their counterparts and afterwards expressed a lot less satisfaction with it. The result suggests, in fact, almost proves that above poverty level at least, getting more money has very little to do with getting more happiness, because wealth makes delights that were already accessible seem less attractive and enticing.
Well, I guess from a psychological point of view, it makes perfect sense.
Because there's
nothing special if you have even the thought of obtaining anything quickly. It has to do with instant gratification, I think.
And also, I mean, why would I be satisfied with a bar of chocolate when I could be eating a bar of chocolate?
When you could buy the company.
off somebody's naked belly, you know. Yeah, or buy the company,
right.
Like Victor Kiam. So there's that. So money doesn't buy happiness, so bugger off. In the meantime, money, on the other hand, does buy drugs. U.S. drug makers distributed about $3 billion in free samples to physicians in a year. $3 billion of giveaways in a year. This is the first ever comprehensive survey of the marketing practice. Pfizer distributed $2.7 billion of that $3 billion.
Really?
Pfizer's given it away.
Do they have any statistics as to what drugs they give away?
Well, what is
all the good
make?
Ones?
What is Pfizer make?
They make Paxil.
They make Viagra.
They make Viagra. They make Prozac?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to have to check.
They all make some of the serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Yeah, I don't know. So there you go.
Okay.
Some more scientific findings just in the last 3 minutes before we have to go.
I reserve the right to interrupt at any moment. Yes,
please do. A study suggested that American parents think that their teenage children are sexually uninterested, but all other teenagers are sexually hyperactive and predatory.
Yeah.
So
your own kids are perfect.
Clearly sane.
Until proven otherwise.
And I love this, that they are sexually uninterested. You know, the belief is that, no, they're not interested. It's like, well, what were you like when you were 15? I don't know.
I had a perpetual tent in my pants. Yeah.
Indeed. Like the male crickets, raised amid the abundant song of other male crickets, have more massive testicles.
Ooh.
Yeah, so that's what you get for being raised amongst the sound of abundant...
Jiminy crickets!
Exactly. Here's some interesting things from the bottom of the sea.
Yes.
Baby corals, looking for a place to live, follow the sound of reefs. Who knew baby corals could hear a reef? Hermit crabs line up in long queues, ordering themselves from biggest to smallest so that they can wait a synchronous vacancy chain wherein each crab moves to the next biggest shell, just one over. So they line themselves up like little conurbations of hermit crabs.
That's a good word. No. Conurbation. I haven't heard that word since grade 11 geography. Conurbation.
Conurbation. Well, that's where we live, baby.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
This multitudinous city. Spectacled eider ducks in the Bering Sea were being hunted by a walrus. That's news. A walrus. Hunting spectacled eider ducks.
Well, and they'd be floating around up in the Bering Strait there. I don't know that they're really looking for predators down below. I don't know what eider ducks normally are food for, but not walruses. Walruses are mostly vegetarians.
This guy has got a taste for duck.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, what do walruses eat? I can't remember.
Canadian scientists? What have Canadian scientists has been up to? Canadian men, unlike most of the world's men, grow fatter as they get richer. Probably.
I thought all men did.
No, this is just
Canadian. Thus the term prosperous.
No, I think probably Canadian men grow, most men as they get, there's this line where people as they get more money, they get thinner and thinner and thinner. Yeah. Because they can afford only the best and personal trainers and stuff, but not Canadian guys. No siree, Bob.
Okay.
Also, Canadian scientists announced the development of a mouse grimace scale. Which is nice.
Hey, what, mice again?
And Canadian scientists are busy. Yeah. Fat Canadian scientists dealing with mice and wondering what they're grimacing about.
Yeah.
This will allow humans to determine by a mouse's facial expression how much pain that mouse is in, which is nice. So while we're vivisecting them, we can say, sorry. Mice may produce their own morphine, on the other hand.
Oh.
Which
that's
is
okay.
Kind of typical of
so if
Canadian
they, maybe labs. They grimace just to produce morphine. Maybe it's one of those sort of physiological reactions.
Maybe so. Maybe so. So that's what's going on in Canadian labs. However, in Japan, 2 million honeybees were stolen last year. The price of bees continues to rise, and there is a gang of bee rustlers. And 2 million bees stolen.
Yes. Just so you know. They say that if the honeybee crisis, which has gone on for a few years in the North America now, I guess it may be a big problem in Japan now. They've had diseases. So
well, now that they're stealing them.
Sudden death syndrome, or whatever they call it, has killed a huge percentage of bees in North America.
Well, in the States, a third of all honeybee colonies died during last winter. A third.
And it's been going on for a couple of years. So that's a third of a lesser number from, say, 5 or 7 years ago.
Huh.
A far lesser number.
Huh. Huh.
Interesting.
I've been seeing a bunch of bees around, but...
Well, the thing is they're vital. They're vital. I mean, we swat them away as if they were dangerous or uninteresting. But the fact is that we rely on those little buggers.
When the bee goes, the C goes. And after it, the D. In Brazil... yeah. where the nuts come from.
And where the good soccer players come from.
Brazil was found to be worse for the environment than any other country on the planet.
That's because of the degradation of the Amazon.
Which is probably better for the planet than anyone else, so they have this rainforest to lose. Worse for the environment than any other country, and unfortunately in Brazil, a fire destroyed the world's largest collection of dead snakes. Which I can't
imagine. Speaking of fire and brimstone.
Go ahead.
I think it was in Ohio or something. Yeah. A huge 20-foot-high wooden statue of Jesus was struck down and burnt by lightning. Did you hear that one?
Ooh.
Yeah.
No,
give me your interpretation of that.
Praise the Lord, I say. Yeah. Jesus, graven images. Thou shalt not make unto me any graven images. Statues of Jesus, is that not a graven image?
An icon, yeah.
Didn't the Ten Commandments say thou shalt not make big statues of Jesus? Pretty much, isn't that kind of right?
Idolatry.
But then again, Jesus hadn't been invented yet.
No, just idols, the sort of representations, I think.
Speaking of idols, the show is now going to go into idol because... we're forced to be somewhere else. With a bit of luck, Charlie will be in 23 minutes to sweeten your morning with some hot jazz. And in the meantime, I'm going to flip you over to... actually, why don't we try to do a little Burley podcast? Could I do that? I'm going to try to do a little Burley podcast. Let's do that. And maybe we'll put on an old show that will run until it can't run any farther. Let's do that. CITR podcast, end of the world's news.
I'll just dance in the background.
Just tap dance for a little while.
Tap, tap, tap.
Podcast,
tap,
end of tap, the world tap. News. And before you know it, you'll be listening to a show from a while ago. And Goulash will be back in the chair next week. And with a bit of luck, I'll come in with him and we'll do a special Canada Day show where everything will be Canadian. So no more nastiness, and I might as well apologize in advance. I'm sorry about that. Graham, I'd like to thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
For our brief little chat. Dear listener, thank you for listening. Have an awesome summer, and we'll be with you sort of next week. Next week we'll be with you. In the meantime, let's look for an old show. The 28th of May, 2008, says Goulash. Let's see if there's the 28th of May, 2008. Let's see what we got here. Oh, back. 28th of May, 2000, July, June. This is like, there he is, 29th of May. Let's try that one. Okay, here comes 29th of May, 2008. Oh, yeah, it's all happening. This is the end of the end of the end of the world news. Peace, we love you, and out.